Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. This is the show where we celebrate and affirm the power of dreams, coincidence, imagination to juice our lives, give us guidance and resources beyond the ordinary everyday mind. And we have some fun. We're going to have fun today with Dr. Bernard Beitman. Bernie Beitman is a psychiatrist, a professor, a recovering academic, he calls himself, an athlete. A man of many stories, and his new book, published by one of my favorite publishers, Inner Traditions, is titled Meaningful Coincidences. So that is our theme for today. Welcome, Bernie.
Thank you very, very much, Robert. I'm glad to be back with you.
I'm glad that you called it Meaningful Coincidences, because it's important not to lose the word. You know, Jung gave us synchronicity because he got fed up with people getting tongue-tied when they try to talk about coincidence. And most of us still say it's not coincidence when we mean it's coincidence, but it's meaningful. So I'm glad that you affirm the word, because it's still a good word. So tell us, you've made quite a story out of your study of coincidence. You've been doing a blog or a column about it for Psychology Today. You have a coincidence project collecting narratives and so on. So tell us what brought you into such passionate and dedicated study of this theme.
As with most of us who are dedicated to life's work, I started this because I had coincidences early in my life, and many of them subsequently. And that formative coincidence involved a boy and his dog. I was 8 or 9. And I came home from school, and on my bike, and my mother was standing in the front door, waiting for me, which she never did. And I said, "Where is Snapper?" That was the name of our dog. And she said, "I don't know. Why don't you go to the police station? Maybe they know." So I got back on my bike and pedaled back to school and crossed the big road to where the police station was, and parked my bike and walked up the stairs, and a big door. I could open the big door, and I walked in, and there was a big desk and a big man sitting behind the desk. And he said, "What can I do for you, son?" And I said, "Have you seen my dog?" And he said, "Sorry, son, we haven't." And so I turned around, went through the big door, and I started crying. I started crying. I went down the steps and got my bike. And instead of crossing the big road, I was crying so much, I just pedaled. And I pedaled to the right rather than straight. And as I was pedaling, within, I don't know, 20 yards maybe, I look up and there's a dog coming towards me. And the dog was walking the way Snapper walks. And I said, "Well, maybe that's Snapper." And we got closer, and it was. He was walking towards me. We found each other. And he jumped up on my leg as if to say, "Where have you been?"
Yes.
And then we went home.
Yeah. That's a lovely story, Bernie. Now, did you feel there was a hidden hand involved? Did you feel that there was some agency behind the scenes of our perceptual reality that was assisting you and Snapper to get back together? Did it feel something like that? Did it feel personal?
Oh, it was very personal. I mean, I needed him desperately.
Of course.
Was a lonely boy, and I needed
him. Yes, but I mean, beyond that sense of personal, and it's a very moving story, thank you, but beyond that sense, did you feel that there was causation? Because, of course, Jung famously described synchronicity as an a-causal connecting principle. meaning there's no obvious push-pull mechanical connection between the things that manifest as synchronicity. Nonetheless, experientially, we often feel when something like this happens, when we're reunited in this unlikely serendipitous way with the dog, for example, as if there's something else at work behind the scenes. Did you have a feeling of that kind?
No, I didn't. I was just too glad to find
right.
him and see him. But the word numinous is perhaps applicable here. The feeling of joy, of this something greater is what I might have felt. But I was 8 or 9, and I didn't get to that place to think in the more cosmic terms. So I had a wonderful feeling and just joy to be able to see him, but I did not get the sense that you're describing of unus mundus, Jung's idea that there is influence beyond our three-dimensional reality.
I see. Well, but you see, numinous brings that in, because numinous comes from numen, and it comes from the classical understanding that the god gives the nod. That's what it means. It's numinous. Etymologically and in its derivation, it means that some greater agency, call it a god in the classical world, is giving the nod and making things happen. I won't belabor your feelings at the age of 8, but it is a sense that many people have when they experience meaningful coincidence in their lives today, that something is going on, beyond the curtain of the world. It might be the magnetism of one's own feelings that is bringing things into play. I mean, that's an important factor. But sometimes there's a sense that something transpersonal is going on, that there are other intelligences or agencies or everyday angels in play. I'm just wondering whether that is part of your understanding. It seems that it probably isn't, and that's fine.
I'm moving in that direction, Robert. I'm a, as you mentioned, a recovering academic. And I've done research in chest pain and panic disorder. So
yes,
I go
I know
from the ground up and go where the data shows me, the data that I find as reasonable. And there, I have a sense of something beyond. And I have had experiences in which I could know that it's all energy that we're part of, that is it, we live within, among, a part of energy. And that energy is something that I want to be able to describe, but it's a touch in the direction of what you're talking about. You have a more direct and wide-ranging experience with the transpersonal than I do because of the way that you have done your life, and particularly with your emphasis on dreams. So I know what you're talking about. I've had brief experiences of what you're talking about, but my interim place to think about something greater than us is our mental atmosphere or our psychosphere, as it has been called, in which I also call it. And in this psychosphere, there's a unity among the minds of all of us beings on Earth, which can make connections among and between us in ways that modern science does not appreciate. It doesn't mean there's nothing more than that. It's a step in the direction that you are describing.
Well, I think you're doing splendidly for a recovering academic, Bernie. And I know a few academics. I can't call myself a recovering academic because I got out of the field very early on, but I was very briefly a very junior professor of ancient history, so I nearly got into that. So let's turn to you and let's give you some time to explain to us what you think is going on with the phenomenon of meaningful coincidence in your terms. I mean, lay it out for us. Give us a Bernie meaningful coincidence 101 few minutes. What is going on?
The easiest answer is coming up with a single answer to how meaningful coincidences happen. And people like to have, this is how they happen. And one of them is that what you're alluding to, that there's a guiding hand. And it's, that guiding hand is described in all kinds of different ways. The universe, consciousness, greater mind. These are all ideas that are out there, quantum fields. And they're talking about something overlapping. It has to do with consciousness. And I think there is something very, truly something there. On the other hand, there are people who talk about coincidences being all random. So these are statisticians who talk about randomness and probability as the guiding influence that creates them. I focus on the individual responsibility as well as randomness or probability. Is every coincidence has a probability. We just don't know how to identify it yet. And every coincidence has a mystery, which is in the direction you're talking about. At least most of them do. You know, one of the fun things about using the word coincidence, Robert, is that if you have a cause for it, the interconnection of two events, of the two events coming together in a surprising and unexpected way, if you have an explanation for it, then it's no longer a coincidence, which is why people who believe that God or universe does it say there are no coincidences, as well as why people with the probability perspective say there are no coincidences because they can explain them all. I have multiple explanations for multiple different coincidences, and the one that we both know that you run into somebody in a strange way that you really needed to get in touch with or connect with, as I did with my dog Snapper. I have an idea that I call human GPS. That in some way that we have yet to clearly define, we have the capacity to get where we need to be without knowing how we got there. I was crying. When I was crying, I wasn't thinking in the rational, linear way. I went to the right, and that was a way home, so it was a possible way to go. But I went right instead of straight across the street. And what made me do that? Well, I think there is some way that I was able to identify, kind of like radar, right, that Snapper was over in that direction. Snapper made four different turns to get to where he met me. I made one. Snapper made four, and he'd never been in this way. So dogs have an ability, many animals do, to get where they need to be without knowing why they're going that direction, or some of them are able to get home after being lost for over 1,000 or more miles. So that we have the capacity, like some other mammals, to be able to get where we need to be through this human GPS. And that's personal. That's agency. So I emphasize agency in as part of my explanatory ways of thinking about meaningful coincidences.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to come back to those things, because they're terribly important too, aren't they? Animal instinct, empathy, telepathy, magnetism. I mean, the emotion that you were feeling, if it's my experience thinking over it, did my deep sorrow, did my deep anxiety produce results reaching out and bringing me to the dog and bringing the dog towards me? All sorts of different ways of looking at that. Let's home in on what I call magnetism. I don't know whether you use the same phrase. And it works in different ways. I mean, the idea that the thoughts and feelings that we carry are going to generate events and encounters around us. I mean, a notorious example of this in a sort of over-dramatic and sometimes even sort of disturbing way was the Pauli effect. You know, Wolfgang Pauli, that brilliant quantum physicist, worked with Jung on his synchronicity theory. There was a roiling mass of emotions for all sorts of reasons, because women had walked out at him, because he drank too much, because he had identity issues. So he blew things up. I mean, his emotions, it's in the dictionary, the Pauli effect, the man whose roiling emotions and inner chaos were such that they were deemed to generate effects, including the blowing up of a cyclotron at Princeton University. What do you think about that? What's your observation of that? What's your personal experience of how our inner thoughts and feelings might generate effects in the external environment?
Oh, I strongly believe that we can do that. Different people have different energy fields. I'll use energy rather than magnetism. But magnetism is probably more accurate, because our body, particularly our hearts, generate magnetic fields. And those magnetic fields can be measured currently 3 feet away from the body, but probably generate further. And under emotional conditions, that can create an energy wave emanating from you. I have a friend who is a high energy person who has has had difficulty connecting with other people, partly because her energy level or her magnetism is so strong that it disturbs the energy fields of other people in ways that they don't consciously recognize.
Right.
On the other hand, I go to dance fairly regularly, and on the dance floor, we create energy pairing so that there is a coherence between the two dancers where they're feeling both part of the same energy field. So I know you're right about this, Robert. It's just being able to measure is what science wants. I haven't seen anybody measuring interpersonal energy. I haven't seen that, but we definitely have the ability to move things around. That psychokinesis is a name applied to that.
Right. Well, that's a very interesting theme. I mean, as a presenter and speaker, of course, I mostly do it online right now, but when I was getting out and about speaking to large audiences, large circles, sometimes many hundreds of people, sometimes just a group of 45 or so in a circle, I noticed, I had to learn about this, I didn't recognize to begin with, I noticed that my energy extended over the whole group. I mean, they're inside the energy of the teacher. And I noticed that this would have jangling and confusing effects for me and for anyone else after the session, after the circle, unless I consciously pulled the energy back in. You know, I thought it was a sort of wetsuit technique, pulling the heavier energy anyway back closer to the body so it's not out there creating disturbances and confusion for the person who's projected that much energy as well as for those around them. So I had to learn something of what that meant personally, and my need to pull back and turn off a greatly extended energy field when I wasn't playing the role of teacher and leader of the group. So that is certainly part of it. But this extends in so many directions. I mean, this business of, you know, how we touch each other and move each other. Let me ask you a very basic, you know, Bernie 101 question, which people ask me and no doubt I ask you. You know, some people say, why don't I experience all this coincidence that other people are talking about? And is it because there's something wrong with me? Or why alternatively does someone get it all the time? So what would you say to questions like that?
And it's a fundamental, almost philosophical realism question. I contend that you need to have someone observe the coming together of two unlikely events in a surprising and unexpected way. Somebody has to observe it and then apply meaning to it. So the primary step for the people who don't see them is who don't report them is they're not seeing them. I've got data that suggests they're quite common among most people that at least answer the survey. But the problem comes with some people just don't notice them. They don't have a category for them. They're not interested in seeing them. They just don't know that they're out there, and that if they don't see them, it's something like if the tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, does it make a sound? Well, is there a meaningful coincidence if nobody sees it and applies meaning to it? And I think you got to have somebody seeing it and then finding meaning in it before you get a meaningful coincidence.
Right.
So part of my job, Robert, in this life, is to increase people's sensitivity to meaningful coincidences, to be able to show them that they happen, to show the patterns of meaningful coincidences, to show that they can be useful, and that they can expand your understanding of reality. That's what my thing here is on Earth in this body to do. So I'm glad you asked that question, because it starts with anybody listening to us. Do you think it might be a good idea for you to look for and notice meaningful coincidences? And if they think it's a good idea and they start listening to stories like yours or mine and read my next book, which I hope will be called The Adventures of Dr. Coincidence, and they're the coincidences of my life, and maybe you'll be reminded of this coincidences in your own life. And you have to be reminded, and coincidences are a lot like dreams. as you well know, they're easy to forget unless you write them down, unless you have other ways of remembering by having a lot of experiences with them. If you don't start recording them in some way, you're not going to be able to be sensitized to them. So write them down, ask other people about them, read books about them, listen to stories about them, and you will see that they are happening with some regularity in your life.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Bernard Beitman. He gave us a passionate statement of his mission in life, which is to wake all of us up to the importance of coincidence and the fun of monitoring us. We'll be back to talk more to him after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our excellent guest today is Dr. Bernard Beitman. His book is Meaningful Coincidences, and that is our theme. Bernie, what's your website if people want to check on you?
My website is starts with the word, parts of the words of coincidence. It's coincider, C-O-I-N-C-I-D-E-R, .com. Our coincider is a person
coincider.com.
Who experiences...
Okay. Okay, he's passionate about his subject. He has a lot to say about it. Bernie, tell us some stories from everyday life about learning from coincidence. I mean, stories large and small from your recent life. You told us the moving story about Snapper when you was a boy. How does this play for you, you know, on an ordinary day these days?
A simple example is while I was dancing, with someone that I like very much, we ended up for about 5 or 10 seconds holding hands, both hands in front of us for just this little while, about 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And I was thinking about that as I picked up a book I'm reading called Nexus, and the chapter that I started to read started with the two major characters in the novel, a man and a woman, touching each other's hands, both hands. So what I had experienced and was thinking about, I then saw reflected in the novel I was reading.
Right. Well, I'm glad you gave a bookish example, because if you'd asked me the question, if we were having a conversation the other way around, my mind these days would immediately go to what I call let's think. In other words, bookish synchronicities. You have something in your mind, the right book turns up. something comes up in a dream and suddenly the resources, the research resources, the bookish resources to follow up are presented to you in a serendipitous fashion. I mean, I'm a very bookish person, and now that I'm at home a lot of the time, I spend a lot of my time, you know, deep, deep in books and research. So the way that the shelf elves, as I call them, Arthur Koestler spoke about the library angel, I'm content to call them the shelf elves, those spirits that make books and papers and sources appear or disappear in somewhat random ways. Their play is of great interest to me. Actually, I'll tell you a brief story about that. So a shamanic practitioner I did not know at the time was traveling to Boulder, Colorado some years ago and looking for something, and suddenly a book flew off the shelf and hit him in the third eye. It was my first book on dreaming, conscious dreaming. He'd never heard of me, never heard of the book. He bought the book and invited me to his city to lead a workshop on shamanic dreaming, which I did with great pleasure. So that is an example, perhaps, of how books really do have their own life. And there are books that might want to go dancing, like yours, and there are books that might have to be chained to a desk or put under a birdcage in order not to go flying around. They have their own life. I mean, I guess I'm an animist. It's probably too old-fashioned a word to use. It became popular in Victorian times. Sir Edward Tyler, first anthropology professor at Oxford. But I guess I'm a bit of an animist in the sense that I actually think that everything is alive and conscious. And that's not too out of kilter with some people in physics. So everything has its own life. Everything has its own story. Everything is capable of participating in a participatory universe. When I try to understand the phenomenon of meaningful coincidence, well, that to me is part of what is in play. The river is talking, the mountain is talking, the Toyota is talking, the vanity plate on the car is talking, which takes me back to my native Australia, where the first people, the Aborigines, say, we live in the speaking land, by which they mean everything is speaking, if we pay attention, to go back to your theme of, are you listening, are you looking, are you open to this or not? Everything's speaking. The Toyota is speaking, it has its dreaming. Blizzard is speaking. So for me, it's not a wonder in the sense of something too puzzling that all of this is going on all the time. It's a wonderment. It's wonderful. And it's a wonder to me that more people don't take advantage of it, because not only do you have a sense of poetry in life when you notice things rhyming in certain ways, and not only do you sometimes have stop-go messages that are important, you have a sense of everyday magic, and you have a sense that the veils between the worlds are not thin at all, and you live in an animate, meaningful universe. All right, so there's my passionate statement. And for me, it is dreaming with my eyes open and all my senses alive. So in that sense, it's absolute continuity for me between dreaming done with the eyes closed and dreaming done with the eyes open. Tell us another story from your life, Bernie. We have you on the dance floor, and I'm glad that at your age, you're still on the dance floor. Good for you. I'm not. But then I was never so keen on that as you were. And tell us another story from everyday life about how coincidence works and plays for you.
Well, that was a beautiful description, Robert, of animism and the life of books. I won't tell you another book story, but one caught my attention and got me into psychiatric residency at Stanford in a variety of twists and turns. But that's another book story. I'd like to tell you a story that comes from the athletic field, where I played football as well as baseball. And this was on a Thursday evening, Thursday afternoon. We were practicing on a practice field for our game against Johns Hopkins, which is in Baltimore. And I was at Swarthmore College near Philadelphia. And something made me, inside of me, walk away from the other guys on the practice field to a smaller practice field. And something made me, intuitively, pick up two tackling dummies, which are about 3 feet high and heavily weighted to the bottom, so that you can pretend like you're tackling them, and then they pop back up again. So I took two tackling dummies, put them side by side with about 2 feet between them, and then took a football and walked about 10 yards away from the two tackling dummies, the pair of tackling dummies, turned my back to the tackling dummies, crouched down, turned around, and ran through the tackling dummies. I did that again, so I did it twice, and then I trotted back to the other guys on the practice field. Well, on Saturday, I returned punts. The other team kicks the ball, and my job was to take it back as far as I could. And the punter for Johns Hopkins was just not kicking the ball very well, so I didn't get a chance to return any punts. Then finally, a high arching punt comes in my direction. Oh, it was beautiful to see against the gray-blue sky, but it was going past where I was standing, so I had to turn around and catch it over my shoulder. And I caught it over my shoulder and put it between my arms, turned around, and there were two Johns Hopkins players 2 feet aside, right next to each other, two feet between them, right next to each other, running straight at me. Well, I'd seen that before 2 days ago, so I did what I had practiced and ran through the tackling dummies for a 90-yard punt return touchdown.
Great. Great. What a great story, Bernie. Thank you for giving us a sports story because, you know, there are guys, usually guys, who think, oh, this is some crazy, you know, new age, woke kind of stuff. We real men don't do that. So it's good to have a sports story that everyone will pay attention to. You're a visualizer when it comes to your sports practice too, weren't you, or aren't you, that you would visualize moves on the field in the game before they were made and prepare yourself that way through playing in a movies? Was that part of your practice?
Absolutely.
We need to take another break. We're talking to Dr. Bernard Beitman, very interesting guest. His new book is Meaningful Coincidences. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. We'll be back after a short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We're having great fun with Dr. Bernard Beitman. His new book is Meaningful Coincidences. By the way, hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see I'm leading a number of new courses, a short one for alternatives in London, starting this week, the week you're listening to this. And that would qualify you to do level one of my training for teachers of active dreaming. But Bernie just told us a story about being rehearsed through coincidence for a play in a football game. Bernie, I've got to tell you a story about real guys dreaming, and it's a story from someone who studied with me, but I just want to try it out on you. Here's dreams spilling over into waking life. So a man who'd studied with me was asked by his son-in-law, who had joined the Marines and was being deployed in Afghanistan for the first time. Here we go, real guys, real men. He says, Dad, he says to my friend, what can you tell me about staying alive in Afghanistan? He said, pay attention to your dreams, write them down, consider the possibility, that your dreams are rehearsing you for things that lie ahead, which is one of the fundamental elements in my approach, that dreams show us the future. So out on patrol for the first time in Afghanistan, leading a platoon, the son-in-law dreams the night before they head out of IEDs, of a concealed bomb along a trail he's never walked. He comes to the spot in physical life. He recognizes the spot. Everything has stopped. They make a search and they find two IEDs exactly at the point he had pinpointed from his dream. I mean, that's the kind of story that will get guys to pay attention. And it says something that our ancestors understood from the very beginning. Dreaming, which includes dreaming with the land, in other words, monitoring coincidence, listening to the speaking land, can keep you alive. It can save your life. It's not just about, you know, entertainment, though the entertainment can be great. It's about seeing things in ways that you can't ordinarily see them, mobilizing parts of your own instinct and intuition that may be dormant, you know, under the heaviness of ordinary preoccupations. And let's just do it. So, Bernie, you're much better at telling stories than I think you might have realized until recently. So tell us another story about coincidence in your life or on the lives of people who talk to you.
Well, as I study my own coincidences by writing this book, I see that there are coincidence facilitating patterns of mine. How does Bernie Beitman participate in creating meaningful coincidences? And one of them is knocking on strangers' doors, particularly people I don't know, but somebody suggested I might do that. And I have about four or five or six stories that are knocking on people's doors. So one of them was very important in understanding meaningful coincidences. I was a medical student at Yale, and the nice thing about Yale Medical School is they gave us summers off, and a lot of medical schools don't do that. Not only do they do that, they give you money to do research. You just have to give them a half a page or something, and they give you, back then, $500 was enough to do it. Not now, but $500 got me to Los Angeles from New Haven, Connecticut, where as I got to L.A., I realized I didn't have a place to stay in L.A., so I called a friend of mine from college and said, do you know about anybody in L.A.? And, yeah, so this guy named Robert lived in L.A. She gave him his phone number. I said, hey, can I stay with you until I found a place? And he lived near University of Southern California. I got dropped off there, and we were talking, and he says, the person who owns this apartment, it was in the back of a big house, the person who owns his apartment is a mystic. So I said, whoa, a mystic? We studied that in philosophy in college. We studied Hinduism and stuff like that. And I mean, that's all I knew. I never knew anything more about mysticism. So I knocked on the door, and a woman answers, and she says, hi. And I said, I hear you're a mystic. And she says, you're the second one. You are the second one. So I go in, and we go into the kitchen, and she's got a Hindu drawing on the kitchen. And I said, I recognize that. And she said, come back Wednesday night at midnight if you want to have a mystical experience. So I had a motorcycle riding around L.A. I came back to her house on my motorcycle and at midnight, and she gave me a glass of milk with a blue liquid in the bottom. She said, it's called LSD. I never heard of it. Well, I did hear of it. It was in a Look magazine article written by Andrew Weil, who I was interns with, but that's another story. But I hadn't heard much about it. Timothy Leary didn't know anything about all that stuff. So I took the acid, and among other things, I saw energy patterns between my hands. I saw energy between my hands. It was like cat's cradle. I could, like, expand the lines between my fingers, and then I could contract them by bringing my hands back together again. So this woman was very interesting to me, and I joined their Aleister Crowley group Aleister Crowley was also known as the wickedest man in the world. And he was brilliant about a lot of things and also did a lot of stuff that society frowned upon. But he did a tarot card deck called the Book of Thoth that introduced me to Kabbalah and astrology. And they gave me a cardboard copy, just black and white thing. It's just cards with not colors in them. And I used this deck of cards to study astrology and mysticism. So when I went to San Francisco in 1968 to do my internship there, I was ready to talk hippie talk on the streets, on the Haight-Ashbury streets, because I understood astrology and tarot cards, and that's what was going on there. And meaningful coincidences was something that seemed to be happening a lot, so much that on the streets of San Francisco, I had to tell myself, don't be blown out, a phrase we use for when your mind gets blown by stuff, by all the coincidences that are happening. So I was immersed in a coincidence jungle, a coincidence sea, when I became part of the hippie movement in the late 60s in San Francisco.
You're a wild man, Bernie Weidman. That's a delightful story, including LSD, the great beast Crowley, and the streets of Haight-Ashbury. I mean, great stuff. And the Thoth deck, which is the deck that many of us grew up on almost. The Rider-Waite was the first one that I got. The only one you get in Australia when I was a teenage kid. But actually, although I don't like Crowley much, I like that deck because of the visuals more than anything else. So we're following, you know, a very colorful story from Bernie. When we come back in the last segment, Bernie, I want to turn to you with some of the rules for operating, for navigating life. Synchronicity, and I'll just put a couple out here now. I'd say this, you know, if you want to find serendipity, be prepared to get lost. I mean, Sinbad the Sailor only found the magical kingdom of Serendib by getting shipwrecked and lost. So sometimes you've got to get off plan, you've got to get off schedule, you've got to fall off the maps in order to find yourself. That's one of my thoughts about how to navigate by synchronicity. And I'll try a few others out on you after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. Our guest is Dr. Bernard Weidman. His book is Meaningful Coincidences. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
This is Robert Moss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. We're having fun, Bernard Weidman, Dr. Bernard Weidman, and me. And I just was throwing out some thoughts about rules for navigating life by synchronicity. And I suggested, you know, you want to get found, you might have to get lost. Here's one that I find of enormous practical importance, Bernie, and I wonder how you respond to it.
When one door closes, look for the one that is opening. Or put it another way, for every setback, look for the opportunity. It's difficult for people to do that when you feel abandoned, betrayed, someone's walked out on you, you've lost your job, times are hard. But I found if we can remember to say that to ourselves, okay, that door slammed shut is the one that's opening. Sometimes the world opens out and new opportunities unfold. What's your thought, what's your thinking about that?
Absolutely, and that's not dissimilar. That's similar to what you said earlier, that you got to get lost to find what you need. And the instances that you just described are variations on being lost. My phrase for this that I think you would like is tearing the web of quotidian reality. Tearing the web of quotidian reality breaks the cage of regularly scheduled expectations and allows meaningful coincidence potential to fly in. So yes, under conditions of stress, when you are feeling lost, that's the time to keep your eyes up and looking rather than not. And as a story for that, I was denied tenure at the University of Washington in Seattle, Washington, for various reasons. So I was on my way to the University of Missouri, and I decided maybe I would again knock on a door. And this time the door was a colleague of mine, Wayne Caton. And I said, I dare it, but I did. I wanted to say goodbye to Wayne. So I knocked on the door, and he's there, which is a nice coincidence. And I said, hey, Wayne, I'm going to Columbia, Missouri. I want to say goodbye. I look down on his desk, and there is a paper on about chest pain and psychiatric problems by a pair of English cardiologists called Bass and Wade. And they had studied chest pain in a variety of cardiological patients and found that those who do not have heart disease but still present as if they do, they have a psychiatric problem, usually an anxiety problem. So I said, Wayne, what's with this? And he said, well, I've just developed a one-page protocol about looking for chest pain and panic disorder patients and seeing what psychiatric problems they have. I said, Wayne, can I have a copy of that protocol? So I walked out of that door knock on that one with the protocol in my hand, went to the University of Missouri, and found that the front door to the psychiatric clinic opened onto the back door of the cardiology clinic, so we could get patients from cardiology over to psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And that led to 40 papers on chest pain and panic disorder and led for me to become chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Missouri.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love stories as specific as this, and it is a fine example. I mean, a fine case example of, you know, for every setback, look for the opportunity. There you go. I'm thinking now of a woman who studied with me, and her boyfriend, you know, walked out on her, and she's driving him to the airport, and this is bye-bye for good. And they have to get gas, so they stop at the gas station. And he jumps with a surprise because there's a guy there at the gas station he knows, didn't expect him to be anywhere in the neighborhood. It's his closest friend from college. He's moving into town while the boyfriend is leaving. The college friend is introduced to the now-to-be ex-girlfriend. A month later, they go out for the first time. 6 months later, they get married. So it's the changing of the guard at the gas station. The gas station, very Freudian locale. One is going out, the other one's coming in. Now, of course, it's rare for you to get, you know, the substitute and the improved version as quickly and as smoothly as that. But nonetheless, I do say to others, as I say to myself, okay, you've been knocked down this time. This door is closed. Where is the door that is open or opening that you couldn't notice until this moment? Because sometimes, as we know, we tend all of us to be more conservative than we imagine, even if we've been out there on Haight-Ashbury and so on, Bernie. We tend to be more conservative about change. Sometimes we cling to an existing situation for so long that it has to fall apart before we're able to see something new. So sometimes there is an awakening. It might be an abrupt and bumpy one required in order for us to open our eyes and see what more is possible, what can work out. So, you know, the time is going delightfully quickly, which means we're having a good time. Give us some further thoughts. You're talking now to as an educator, to mobilize people to do more with meaningful coincidence. Tell everybody listening what more they should look for, how they should look for it, and how they should be prepared to let coincidence offer guidance in life.
One key element is getting to know your intuition. Intuition is a word that has a lot of different meanings to people, and I like to think it like tuition, or like pay for college, and it's inside of you. You don't have to pay for it, but it's still college from inside of you. And we have information from our bodies that we need to pay attention to in order to be able to match what might be in our bodies with something external. Usually coincidences, synchronicities are matches between a mental event and a psychological event and an environmental event or an objective event that people can see. Somebody else can see, but I can't see into your mind to see what you're thinking. But there's more in your mind than just some thoughts. There is a still small voice that speaks to you if you listen to it. Sometimes that voice is like loud, as in the case of a couple of people that I've interviewed, one of whom was sitting waiting for her bus outside the train station going to Temple University in Philadelphia, and she was sitting there and a voice came to her, same place she sat for months to wait for the bus. A voice started yelling at her to move. And so she did. She went over some 30 feet away, and a truck came around the corner. It was a flatbed, and as it came around the corner, something on the truck flew off and would have hit her where she was sitting.
Yeah.
And that's listening. That's a voice you had to listen to. I've had people have same death. You've probably heard similar stories. So that's a voice. But your heart.
You know, the ancients listening to this would remember Socrates, you know, who we think of as a paragon of reason and so on. But Socrates was famous for having an inner voice, which he called his daimon, his daimonion, which would only ever say to him, no, stop, don't do that. But it would intercede in his life, in his mind, at critical moments and save him from something which might have been disastrous. So there would be an ancient context of understanding, both personal and transpersonal, for what you just gave us. Unfortunately, we're reaching the moment when we just have to say thanks and dream on, and may meaningful coincidence bless your paths. We've been talking to Dr. Bernard Beitman. His new book is Meaningful Coincidences. We'll be back for a moment after the break to say thank you and dream on.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, may the road rise to meet you, may the wind be at your back, and may meaningful coincidences crackle in guiding and entertaining ways. Thank you for joining us, Bernie Beitman, for sharing your wisdom and your experience on the road of meaningful coincidence.
You're very welcome, Robert, and pleasure talking with you again.
Great sharing these stories. All right, to everyone, may your best dreams come true, eyes open or eyes closed, and may you remember them.